Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here. Yeah, no, I'm not sure. And my voice just, it just left for a second. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was all about. I think it's, quite honestly, I think it's some of these voices that have been coming out of here that cause a problem. We haven't been the same since John Fox.
Oh, I know. That one's a hard, he's hard to.
Thank God he'll be around next year, though. We have an entire year now of making fun of him.
Is that good or bad for you, though, Rob?
It's probably going to be bad for my voice, but good for, I'm hoping, for the listener.
Well, I think it will be good for the listener.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
No water for you, mister.
He's vowed not to drink any water until the Bears actually win more than 8 games in a season.
A winning season, and he'll take a sip.
Right.
Is there ever a time when he doesn't have that voice? Like 5 days after they play, the first news conference he has, when his voice is refreshed?
No.
What happens if he's fired before he ever gets a winning season? Does he never get water ever again?
I'm never drinking water again.
That's a tough technicality right there.
I'm tough on myself, not the players.
It's tough to come back from.
We do like half a workout a week. I think they like it.
Maybe that's a problem. God. Like players can't hear him. I think he's saying something
else.
That's
a good point.
Yes.
You know, I mean, during a game.
Well, it's obvious they can't hear him.
Jay, our players are in blue.
Blue.
It kind of looks kind of like black, but it's blue.
And sometimes white when they're on the road.
Right. Sometimes white, but I'll tell you, they've got the C on their helmet. Throw it to that guy.
C or the D? Yeah, like it's like, I don't know. That might be a problem. I think we nailed it.
All right. But you know what? There is one hot as hell team in Chicago right now. And that is our beloved Chicago Blackhawks and Jed Surratt, who is our man with the Blackhawks.
Yes, he is.
Is standing by right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And Jedley, let's talk about this. This is so much fun. The Detroit Red Wings coming into the United Center tonight. Now, they used to come into the United Center a number of times a year, mm-hmm. and it was always a big deal. Even when the Hawks were less than, let's say, that place always filled up because you had Red Wings fans and Hawks fans, and it's great. I mean, it's one of the greatest rivalries in sports. And yet, now it's just once a year that we get to see them.
Can you do this as John Fox?
You know what, Chudley? I'm very upset about the fact that they're east and west have separated now.
It hurts your ears.
Now, even Joe Quenneville mentioned this morning that while these two teams don't see one another nearly as often because Detroit is now in the Eastern Conference and obviously the Blackhawks are in the West, you know, you can still feel the excitement in the building. The Red Wings fans have always traveled well. I'm sure there'll be a bunch of the winged wheel and that jersey in town here tonight to watch this matchup. And for Detroit, they desperately need some points. Right now, they are next to last in the Eastern Conference. This would represent the first time in 26 years, I believe, that they would not make the playoffs if the season ended today. And for the Blackhawks, you've got the Minnesota Wild that is right on their heels. The Blackhawks have only a 2-point edge, but the Wild have 4 games in hand.
Well, what's happened to Detroit, Judd? This was the premier franchise in the NHL for how long, and now they're, as you just mentioned, near the bottom of the entire Eastern Conference. What's different about this team?
Kevin, that's a good question. I think when it comes to the core, you got a lot of mileage on these guys, and you know, and a lot of guys. If you look a few years ago, the strength of this team, much like the Blackhawks have been here over the last few years, the engine has been on the back end. You know, at one point you had, I think it was Lidstrom, Stewart, and Rafalski all leave the team in 1 year. Those are some significant losses. Plus, you've got a lot of mileage. You know, think of what the storyline was, Kevin, for the Blackhawks heading into the playoffs last year, all the mileage in the core players mm-hmm. for guys like Keith and Kane and Taves, et cetera. Well, think of the amount of mileage that was on Datsyuk, Zetterberg, Cronwall, et cetera. Now, Pavel Datsyuk has moved back to Russia, so he's playing over there. Henrik Zetterberg is still a terrific player, and he's leading this team in scoring. Nicholas Cronwall has been banged up. I think I was told that he had a knee injury last year, and that might be something that is still bothering him. So they got a lot of mileage on those core players. And where the Red Wings picked for a long time, Kevin, they weren't at the top of the draft. They weren't picking in the top 5. They weren't able to just go out and get an impact player. And if you look at free agency, it's hard to do there. So for Ken Holland, the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, who is probably among the best in the National Hockey League in his job. It is very hard to be able to continually fill in based in the salary cap world and maintain the championship level that the Detroit Red Wings were at. If you really look at it, I want to say the window opened for the Red Wings probably in around the mid-90s, and they ran that all the way through to about 2009. So they had a terrific run, but right now they're trying to turn over the team with a new semblance of young talent.
I wonder what it would be like to be one of the best in your job.
And then fall to the bottom.
Yes, anyway.
Can you have Manly, you know, just bump out Bill Curtis for just a couple of days so he can maybe record some spots on the station?
I can do that. You're listening to WGN.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Painful. Oh,
painful.
Right.
Hey, Judd, on the flip, the Blackhawks dropped 5 of 6. Now they have a chance to win their fourth straight. What have they done differently over the past few weeks?
Well, I think they have been better, Kevin. Listen, the goaltending has been a constant. If you look at what they've done over this baseball-style homestand, and this is going to be their fourth home game in 6 days, the goaltending has been terrific. On Saturday night, it was Scott Darling, or Friday night, it was Scott Darling who basically saved their bacon. And Corey Crawford was terrific the other night. But I think one of the things that you're starting to see is they've gotten off to some better starts here in the last game. Against the Nashville Predators, you had a better four-line rotation from the team. Maybe you're starting to see a little bit more consistency as Jonathan Toews' game has come along and as Marian Hossa has come back into the lineup. So you're seeing some better elements from this team, but they realize that there's still a ways to go from their game. I thought it was interesting the other day, Kevin. I don't know if, Rowan, Annie, you had caught this as well, that Joel Quenneville had mentioned, I'm not exactly sure how good we can be because I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like the way that sounds.
I haven't either.
Well, that's definitely true. It's going to get any worse for the Bears.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm really, really, really impressed with the team right now. I mean, it is, and you're pointing out, this is a lot of home cooking too, right? Because
they haven't, but they've cashed in, you know, and I think that was important, especially coming off the way they ended December. Obviously, the Winter Classic didn't go as they had wanted. You're coming back here to the United Center, and you faced a few teams that were out of the playoffs. In fact, in Buffalo, Carolina, and Nashville, and now Detroit, you're facing four teams that when the Blackhawks are squaring off against them, right now they're on the outside of the playoff picture in the West and the Eastern Conference, respectively. You have to be able to cash in on those games, especially on home ice. The Blackhawks, with a record, I think, of 16-4-4 here at the United Center, that's among the best in the league.
All right. Judd Lee, I got to ask you also about the All-Star Game. Four Hawks, Keith, Crawford, Kane, and Toews headed to it. But you heard Toews talking about it in interviews today, saying he wondered why he was selected, even though we know why he was, why he would be selected. And he named Anisimov and Panarin and Hossa and others on the team who performed so well, like rock stars the first half of the season, why they weren't named instead of him. What do you make of that?
Well, Anna, I think based on merits, Jonathan is just being honest that based on the first halves that guys like Panarin and Anisimov and Hossa, the first halves that they've had have probably been better than Jonathan Toews. You know, I think it's kind of funny. About a year ago, we were talking about a guy named John Scott being voted into the All-Star game and being selected as a guy who was a borderline National Hockey League player and a fourth liner throughout his career. And now we're talking about Jonathan Toews getting to the game. Remember, this is an All-Star game, and Jonathan obviously is a very recognizable face around the National Hockey League. So hopefully, I think the NHL, and I can't speak for the guys who picked the team, they're trying to get as many eyes and ears and attention on this game as possible. But, you know, it's funny, if you look at some of the Canadian websites or you can look at various teams, I think that there are probably anywhere from 15 to 20 guys you can look at around the National Hockey League that probably deserve to go than some of the others in the East and the West that were selected.
Mm-hmm. I just love the idea that he's so humble.
He's so classy.
That he's saying, like, you know, I didn't really deserve to be, you know.
It's like, what? You know, it's like, you're Jonathan Toews!
How could you be the arguably the best hockey player of your generation and also a nice guy? Yeah. It's an amazing thing.
Wayne Gretzky just called him future Hall of Famer.
Well, and it's funny too, because the NHL, their current promos and graphics, they do, as Judd, you were alluding to, they already have his face on everything. You know, the day that it's released, the All-Stars, I mean, he's one of the faces of this league.
Well, yeah, why do you think the National Hockey League is so excited when the Blackhawks participate in the outdoor game? Because the ratings go up.
Right. Huge fan base.
The outdoor game has never been kind to the Hawks. You know,
they're 1-4.
Yeah, it's just not their. It's just not their thing.
And they're going to get another crack at it. I guarantee they're going to get another crack at it. I know that two of the sites that are being talked about are Notre Dame, which is an easy fit, obviously, for the Blackhawks. We've got a big connection with the general manager, Stan Bowman, who's an alum. And the Blackhawks used to stage the beginning of his training camp there at Notre Dame. And the other one that I've heard that's been talked about is Lambeau Field.
Oh,
obviously,
God.
You've got a lot of proximity there for the Blackhawks. The question is, if they went up there, who would they play?
The Wild, probably, right? Imagine.
Yeah, but I think they ran that up the flagpole before. I wonder if I have no idea who.
That's brilliant.
They would try and put in there.
Jedley, as you well know, being as close as you are inside the Hawks organization, that is a place where they are trying to recruit fan bases, Wisconsin, because Milwaukee doesn't. They have a an AHL team, but they don't have an NHL team. And mm-hmm. they think that's prime. There's a lot of Hawks. There's opportunity for Hawks fans here, especially given the long standing tradition. I don't know how many Wisconsin people want to be fans of a Chicago franchise. It's a little unclear, but they are a regional play, and there's and hockey is huge in Wisconsin. So
totally. This morning, the University of Wisconsin came here, and I think they had a little practice on the ice because there's a big Chicago connection there. Tony Granato is the head coach over at the University of Wisconsin, and Marco Siki, who used to coach in Rockford, is the assistant coach there for Tony Granato and the University of Wisconsin. So you can see a lot of the excitement coming in for those players.
Well, didn't Nick Schmaltz go to Wisconsin?
No, he's from there. He went to North Dakota.
Okay, all right. All right. Thank you for the correction.
Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Jedley, we'll talk to you at 7 o'clock tonight.
Thanks, Judd.
You got it.
See you, Judd. Thanks, Judd. Judd Surratt. Yeah. Blackhawks hockey tonight at 7 o'clock. They take on the Detroit Red Wings. Detroit sucks.
Get ready for the chant.
Violetta Paramedics got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Right now. Where's the president?
Yes, he's not in town just yet.
People like him.
They do, but they're probably going to blame him for some traffic. The inbound Kennedy's already pretty bad, and it's only going to get worse.